I like what the suit has done with these new hour opens. Good job. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Justin Bradford, Penalty Box Radio. They had their swan song the last show Wednesday night. 2 hour special. He now joins us. Justin, how long have you guys been doing Penalty Box Radio?
A decade. I mean, it's almost decade. When the station began.
Wow. My hair was a lot darker then. What about you? What could you say when you first started? What can you say was different?
Oh, let's see. I didn't have any gray hair. Uh-huh. I was probably a little bit skinnier.
Okay.
And Big Ben was doing a campaign to try to get me a wife. And it took about 10 years, but it worked.
It worked. Oh, I wish you could have seen it. It worked.
I know.
It worked. So what was it like signing off for the last time after a decade of Penalty Box Radio?
Very bittersweet. I mean, Chase McCabe. Love him so much. He was our first ever producer when he was in college still at MTSU. He was our first producer, and then for him to come on as a program director was a pretty awesome feat, just to see everything that he's been able to accomplish in his career. And he found a couple of things for us, and some of our old original introduction that we had, and then we had plenty of special messages that Abigail Martin put together from his various media personalities, including Pete Weber and Robbie Stanley and so many various other people. It was really awesome just to see how much we were part of the hockey and sports community in Nashville.
I think Chase actually weighed more when he was your producer. I think he's heard me shame the radio butt story so much that he's actually shedded in those 10 years.
Yeah, he's a good-looking dude.
You know, exactly. We'll work on his abilities at sports. We'll work on that. We'll get that better. So what was your takeaway from the 45-minute presser yesterday?
Whew. They were very prepared, and they should have been, because they know what I think is being said all across social media, from fans, from media alike, in terms of just the expectations going into playoffs, and then based on how the season progressed, and especially the middle part of the season where they were competing for the top couple spots in the conference. So I think that raised expectations for what people are seeing out of the team, and then you have your two 40-goal scorers, you have the guy who deserves to win the Norris Trophy, Vezina Trophy candidate. You have all those accolades up there. It obviously raised expectations. So David Poile and John Hines came in with good prepared statements. It was one of those things that when Adam Vingan released that John Hines is going to be extended, you can tell it was very calculated for a reason, obviously, to know they were going to address that at the beginning of the press conference as well, too. So I know it didn't make too many people happy as much with what was said during it, but if anything, what I appreciate is they let questions continue to go. They knew there were going to be plenty of questions, and then they had one-on-ones after that with media as well to make sure that any question that someone had, they had an opportunity to ask it. And I think it was one of those things that they had to let that happen to get through the media firestorm, to let everything be told, let the stories come out, to get through it, then work on the off season. So I'll definitely commend Preds PR for that, for letting that happen and not holding anything back.
So what side of the fence are you on? Everybody we've trotted on, you know, let them give their opinions on the direction moving forward. So how do you feel about the state of affairs? Where are you in everything moving forward now that the season is over?
So it's really interesting, because I think what happened is that the regular season, because people have talked about it, the regular season was entertaining. It was a very entertaining regular season, given there was lots of goal production, great save. You have Roman Josi setting records and doing something that hasn't been done in decades by a defenseman. But the state of what happened in the playoffs is what is the most recent taste in so many people's mouths. And it's really difficult to separate those things, because you have this type of season, and then you almost back into the postseason by having those couple losses that they did have, or they could have changed their opponent. It really leaves a bad taste in so many people's mouths. And so I think it's that recency bias that comes in a lot. For me, if I was doing this, I would have rather seen the 1 year for John Hines. Going based on what we see, we had a really good idea of what was going to happen with the organization. I think if we were taking any extremes, it was something that most people knew was not going to happen. So I try to look at it more realistically and what I think the organization could do. But 2 years, I think, is better than three. It gives an opportunity to go improve yourself, or if you fail, you get to move on. But I think it's one of those things that they're not interchangeable. You can't do one without the other. It's getting really close to time, if not past time, for there to be some sort of change in management. And I think we all know that it's coming almost naturally, given David Poyle's age as well. And that was kind of pushed upon as well in the press conference yesterday, too. What's the succession plan? Is there one? What's going to happen next? Is there a plan? And you can tell that there's been so much discussion on, is there a plan, that Poyle addressed that in his opening statements and his opening prepared remarks. So my thought is that I understand what they're trying to do. I understand that they have a plan. But at this point, yes, there's been playoff success in terms of making the playoffs, but the expectations got raised so much that people are wanting change more quickly now. And at times, you have to deliver that for your fans. At times, you have to make them trust the process. But when David Poyle is saying that he doesn't see the sentiment of fan apathy or of frustration, he's not seeing the same things that I think a lot of us are seeing that manage a Facebook group of 29,000 people that are on Twitter. There's a lot of people that are frustrated, but I don't think change is going to happen until something changes in the pocketbooks as well, too. There's got to be some sort of monetary assessment here, too, because they're competitive, they're making the playoffs. Why make drastic changes? Because as long as you can make the playoffs, you're bringing that extra money in, you're at least competitive, and it gives you a chance. So I would like to see change come eventually, too, but I think it's going to have to start with management compared to coaching.
A lot of people believe the Predators are dripping in mediocrity. Are you on that side of the fence? Do you believe they are mediocre?
I don't think mediocre is the word I would use. I would use more status quo. Okay. I know they're very similar.
See, there we go. That's good, because that's what I said earlier. Like, I think the people that feel that way, they're using the wrong word. And status quo, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, the status quo, because mediocre, they're competitive. They can be fun. They can be exciting to watch. They make the playoffs, and yeah, 32 teams, half the teams make it, but it's a battle to make it to the playoffs. But people want more. The expectation is higher. The expectation is deep run. Yeah, you're not going to win a championship every year. That's really difficult to expect unless you're Tampa Bay. But the expectation is the team should be getting set up for deep runs every year, at least have that ability to make a potential deep run. And who knows, we could be having a very different conversation if they played Calgary and beat Calgary and lost in the second round. It's like, okay, with this team, they won in the first round. Wow, that's a huge accomplishment. Or even won two games in the first round against the behemoth of Colorado. So I think the status quo is more that make the playoffs, see what happens. And David Poyle said that many, many years. The goal, make the playoffs, and then see what happens. And the goal has been make a championship-winning team. So the status quo comes into play when it seems like, from the outside perspective, that it's okay with putting a competitive team together to at least make the playoffs and hope something special comes together. And I know they say, and I know Sean Henry had the letter today about not trying to run it back to 2017 or build off of that, but the feeling comes in with that still so much, too, of is that something you truly want to accomplish? Yes, they're willing to spend to the cap. Yes, they want to re-sign Forsberg. Yes, there's plans to bring in more free agents, but what exactly is that plan? How are they going to accomplish that? So that's why I use the term status quo, because it seems like so much is okay right now.
Justin Bradford is with us. So, Justin, you made some interesting points. What would be the franchises in your mind that achieve what you're talking about? I think you said make the playoffs every year and be in position to compete for the Stanley Cup every year? Make a playoff run every year?
Yeah, and it's...
So what would be those franchises in your mind that would be on that list? Tampa would be one, right?
Tampa be one, and I think it's a unique position because David Poyle even brought it up too, is this team has never been awful enough to be in a position where they do get really good draft picks. And that's unique because Tampa had that for a while. Colorado had that. Pittsburgh had that. Chicago had that. So I think it's a difficult balance to find those expectations versus what can be real because Nashville, in their instance, they've been so competitive that they always have middle of the first round draft picks, late in first round draft picks. So I think it's one of those difficult situations that the team is in because not everybody's like that. And they didn't have the type of thing to where they made the playoffs so consistently, just like Washington, but Washington had some bad years where they were able to get a generational talent like Alexander Ovechkin. It just hasn't fallen that way for the Predators. The one time they had that opportunity, everything got mixed up, and they weren't able to get Barkov because thanks Colorado for taking McKinnon and messing everything up. So I think Tampa's one of those, but they still had the opportunity to be bad. and then you had Steve Eisman come in. So it's, I try to give the benefit of the doubt because, yeah, the Predators have been competitive, and that's what you want. And there aren't many that are in that situation, and that's what makes it really difficult. Makes it really difficult to be so critical because not many teams have been in the position the Predators are in, but they've been consistently competitive enough to make the playoffs and give their fans that taste of something special. There's some that have just gone through an absolutely horrible couple years, drafted really well, and all of a sudden, hey, they're competitive in 3 or 4 years. I mean, look at the Red Wings. They should be competitive in the next few years, given the talent they've been able to draft. The Predators have never had to go through that. So it's difficult, like you say, Will, it's difficult to find another team that is in this situation for better or for worse when it comes to it. Because I can say the market now should be able to survive a couple down years if they went through that. But it's difficult as a team when it's so competitive with the Titans and the and Nashville SC with other things to do. It'd be difficult to sustain that now to have a couple lean years if they went that route. So I understand David Poile saying that they have to remain competitive. There's no rebuild in the plan. They have to be pushing for the playoffs every year.
All of this, to me, is great discussion because it means, and this goes back to the history of your show and your role, Justin, is the development of the fan base, the passion, the desire to want to win, because this is a great philosophical conversation. Regardless of what team you're talking about, you mentioned Detroit and Washington. Like, Washington's gone through a ton of different phases, right? Right now they're in a phase that's very similar to the Predators. They have not won a playoff series in 4 years. They've made the playoffs all 4 years. They've lost in the first round. They won it in the 1 year. Prior to that, what was the prevailing thought of Washington? They can't win the big one, right? They can't get past Pittsburgh. They're never going to win it. And they sort of saved the course, and they finally got their title. Detroit was the model franchise for all those early years of the franchise. They have not won a playoff series in 9 years. They haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. So there's no perfect way to do things, especially in the salary cap era where everybody's got basically the same resources.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you think about, too, Detroit, what they went through before they had the good years, before they drafted Eisman, even right after they drafted Steve Eisman. They had a long time to wait before even making a really good deep playoff run and having to sign all the Russians that came over and everything. So it was a very different time in the NHL back then. But teams go through different types of cycles, and Predators have been in a very unique cycle because they haven't gone through, like I said, that downtime, whereas most of these other teams have been able to get a few good high draft picks to have that happen. Now, granted, too, you look at some of the draft picks that they have had for the Predators that maybe necessarily haven't panned out, and you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in these instances, too. I know Elie Tolvanen had a down year, but there's still potential in him. And then they made some trades for good players. Luke Cunningham had a down year as well, and given where he was drafted, there's higher expectations for him as well. Philip Tomasino had a really good rookie campaign, and I think he's going to continue to grow into that role. That's one of those players that I think has an opportunity to be that top six. Hey, Predators actually drafted a forward that could do something. And so if that's what's so difficult to match with the Predators is that they're extremely unique because as soon as they started making the playoffs, that became the expectation in the mid-2000s that they had to make the playoffs and they had to be that competitive.
So what's next, Justin, with Penalty Box Radio closing the books on a great decade? What's next for Justin?
Well, Penalty Box Radio is still going to live on. I have plenty of people, young people, that are doing podcasts that are going to be covering the team. Abigail Martin's done a fantastic job of covering the Predators this season as well. So she's still going to be covering the Nashville Predators. And for me, with Jeremy K, the K stands for Knowledge Gover, and and Jim Chandler from 107.5, we're actually starting a movie review podcast. So that's my next big project of being a film critic is my next thing. So I'll still be in sports. I'm at Special Olympics Tennessee now, and we're actually, if you hear background noise, we're at Lipscomb University's campus setting up for our state summer games. The first time it's happening since 2012, thanks to the pandemic. So we'll have over 600 athletes coming out to Lipscomb to compete on those games this weekend. So that's going to keep me very, very much involved with the sports world.
Well done. Justin, good stuff as always. Really appreciate it. We will certainly talk to you down the road. Good luck with everything moving forward.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
That is Justin Bradford. Good stuff from him. We'll continue the discussion on the other side. But, Willie, you're going to tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
All right. Let's talk QC Kinetics. Of course, that is the operation that's right here in our listening area, and they want you to be active. They know that there are some people out there that have had some issues staying active. It's the summertime. People get out. They want to play golf, tennis, get out on the lake, all of those things. But you might have had some joint pain that's hindered you over the last couple of years. Whenever it started coming on, hey, we all get older, we get banged up. And you might have had some people telling you, look, you got to go get steroids or you got to go get surgery. Well, there's another option called QC Kinetics that they want you to know about. It's helping people get the fun back. Advanced regenerative treatments. Regenerative medicine. That's the hottest thing going right now. And it's right here in our listening area. They can restore and repair the damaged tissue in your joints. And this might be your option that you've been looking for. QC Kinetics is the nation's leader in these cutting-edge technologies. All natural. No surgery. No downtime. No drugs. So stop putting it off. Get the free consultation from QC Kinetics and learn more about it. This might be exactly what you're looking for. Totally free consultation. Call them right now. 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024. For QC Kinetics.
Good tune, DJ Max. We'll have our best shots of the week before we get out of here today. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. The World Cup, FIFA World Cup, has announced that they will reveal the host venues on June 16th. So a little bit less than a month from now. And, of course, Nashville.
For the North American one.
Yeah. Yep. Right.
So it's not going back to Qatar in the winter.
No, no.
It's good.
No. I'm only concerned about here. And yes, Nashville is in the mix, as we know. Nashville, Tennessee, and it says Nissan Stadium. So, look, you wouldn't have heard all this chatter about it if we weren't, you know, people like Butch Spirit and others that, you know, feel pretty good about the discussions. I'm not saying it's a lock. I'm not saying we're a lock. But you have to feel pretty good to get all. It's not a just like, hey, we're on the list. It's gone further than that. Like, hey, don't forget, new stadium's being built. We want it up and running 2026, but we'll probably still have the World Cup at Nissan Stadium, and then we'll tear it down after that. Like, you have to have pretty good. I would be at this point, Willie, the reason I'm bringing it up, at this point, I would be surprised if on June 16th we are not announced as one of the sites. That's where I am with it.
You're that confident?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Wow.
Well, who doesn't? Since when do we have to, like, worry about Nashville being chosen?
Yeah,
for
but
anything
these are not people that live in the U.S. of A. that are making this decision. These are people in way far-off lands.
It is FIFA, so I don't really trust anything they do.
Look,
so
they
that
the,
is a good point.
Look, this is no offense, but they put the World Cup in Qatar. Was that really
I
smart?
Understand.
We're going to find out.
That. I just said that. I'm not willing to give them too much credit. Yeah. It is FIFA, so, yeah.
You going to slip them a check, Darren?
No, I did not.
Might help.
It is FIFA.
I know. They accept checks or Venmo or PayPal or cash.
Big bags.
Bags of cash, yeah. But I'm just saying, I feel pretty good that we're going to be listed as a host site. I really do. We'll see.
I think there's a little bit of a wild card to it, but I hope you're right. I'm just not as confident as you.
Darren.
I'm confident in Nashville. I think it would be a great success, but I just hope FIFA gets it,
Darren,
which I don't have faith in.
Are the cities listed, is it U.S., Mexico, and Canada, or just
yes.
U.S. and Mexico? All three?
Mm-hmm. All three.
That's a lot of choices. That's the only thing I'd worry about.
Yeah. I mean, Mexico City's in there. Toronto, Vancouver.
It just
Edmonton
highlights how ridiculous it is that this year's World Cup, that they moved out of season to accommodate the host country as in like one of the smallest land area countries in the world. And then in 4 years, an entire continent has to share it.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, look, the markets here are, you know, pretty attractive. I mean, I could see, it makes sense, but I don't know. Again, if we lose out on that one, and the all beings at FIFA, it's a wild card. You don't know what in the world they're going to do, but that would be the way this city has been going, this market has been going the last 5, 6, 7 years. It would be an upset if Nashville is on a list and doesn't get chosen. I mean, we're just not really getting left out. The only thing we're getting left out, and which is why we beat the drum on this show so much about the new stadium, is, you know, all those big ticket things that they've made it abundantly clear. They've made it abundantly clear on our show. Bill Hancock came on our show and said it. He said it several times. And Butch Spiridon, again, to bring him up, and others have said, hey, they've told us they're not coming here until there's a different stadium. It needs to be enclosed. They're not going to come here and put that big event with an open-air place. Nashville's weather is not Miami. It's not California. It's not Arizona. It's not Texas. It's not going to come here. Scott Ramsey, I mean, all the people we've talked to. So, but, I mean, how many times do we just, like, get left out? Like, not because of something like that, but just like, yeah, we chose X market over Nashville. Can you state another example? I mean, it's not too often.
This is very different. This is just very different in so many ways.
I know, but I mean, what would have them other U.S. cities? Why would they choose? I mean, what would be your reasoning behind that? Why would you choose Baltimore over Nashville?
Just lack of knowledge.
Okay. Fair enough.
Peter Angelos might slip them the bag that you aren't sending them, Aaron.
I agree. I mean, I know. They tend to do things a little bit different. It feels like blue chips when you think of FIFA. Although I don't think they're interested in the tractor. I really don't.
Great video game, though. They make a great video game.
Yes, they do. For all the gamers out there. What did you think of Justin's word, status quo?
I don't think I respectfully disagree. That's not a grade. Like, that's not a rating, status quo. Like, when you get your evaluation from, like, mediocrity is a label of evaluation.
Is not very good. That's what, I read the definition,
well, status
not
quo,
very good at something.
Status quo from what? From being good? From being married? Status quo means it's whatever it was before. So what was it before? Like, status quo isn't a rating. I understand what he's saying is it's been the same result
the last
4 years.
Yeah.
But that's not a rating. Is that a status quo of mediocrity? Is that status quo of good? Is that status quo
but not
of,
great? Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? It's like that's just sort of an offshoot of what we're saying. Now, when you listen to everything that Justin said, I agree with a lot of what he said there. He made some excellent points. He follows it as well as anybody, for sure. I just don't think status quo applies. Like, when you get a grade on your test, it doesn't say status quo. Unless you're the last four tests you got a B, and then I could say, okay, status quo. I guess that means I got another B, right?
Well, if I got four Bs, I would be really pumped.
I would be fine with that.
Yeah,
I'd be really happy with status quo if I had a string of Bs. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah, I think what we've tried to, you know, basically put out there today is people can feel that way. They don't have to agree with, you know, the direction, the plan. But I think mediocrity or mediocre is the wrong word.
Yeah, it's lower. That's not the right. That's not a true evaluation. That's not the fair evaluation of what they've done. Are they elite? Are they superlative? Are they exceptional? No, but they're not mediocre. They're above that. Let's appreciate what they have done. It's like when everybody was really ticked off, upset, frustrated, disappointed, all of the above after the Titans lost to the Bengals. There's a huge disappointment, and that's fair. But they got themselves in position for you to be disappointed. They went for 10 years, never sniffing the playoffs. So all I try to do is, when we're talking about these things, is let's not forget about the good things that they have done. Let's talk about what they have done as well as what they have not done. It's obvious what they haven't done. Both franchises, really. They have not achieved the ultimate goal, to win a championship. But I'm trying to add perspective. Pick a team, any team. With Justin, we talked about the Red Wings. 6 straight years now they've been in this rebuild. Are they going to be great next year? I don't think so. Maybe.
Great?
I don't think so. If they made the if they made the playoffs next year and lost in the first round, would that be progress? Yeah. And that might be a bit of a surprise. They haven't made the playoffs in 6 years. They haven't won a round in 9 years. I mean, pick another team.
Well, if you're saying to the
Vancouver,
point is,
how about Vancouver? How many playoff rounds have they won in the last 9 years? 9.
Say,
9 years.
Since the Twins retired, none.
One.
One.
It was in the bubble. They pulled the upset over the Blues in the bubble.
Yeah.
That
right.
is the only playoff series they have won in 9 years. And you know what? They haven't made the playoffs in some of those years. A lot of those years. They didn't make the playoffs this year. So there's, again, it's relative. You have to put it in the context with everybody that you're competing with. Is that the objective? Is just to be good? No. But it's not mediocre.
There you go. I approve this message. We'll come back. Don't forget, best shots before we get out of here. More DDC next. Back here on the DDC on this gorgeous Friday. Yesterday we had Terry McCormick on before the Predators press conference. So that was in the first hour. Remember, Willie, I told you Burke Nihil had been speaking to the Sports Authority. So there's been a lot of follow-up since that, actually, on the behalf of the Titans. I don't know if you've seen a lot of this. But some of the pictures that were revealed of Nissan Stadium, not flattering. I mean, not flattering at all. In fact, if you have seats in the third level, I probably, after seeing these pictures, I'm not sure you'd go to the game this year or go to a game this year. It's not good. There's a lot of cracking and major concrete repairs. But I was seeing a report by Fox 17 this morning that going on what Burke Nihil has put out there, that the stadium is in serious disrepair. And like I said, some of these photos have been released. Concrete just like missing on steps. And it says in here that it's now known as one of the worst stadiums in the NFL. For all the people that say, oh, you don't need a new stadium. Really? It's known as one of the worst stadiums in the NFL. The Titans estimate this is how bad it is. It would be $1.8 billion just to get it up to standard, according to the city's lease that's through 2039. It's weird because I saw this, and then Andrew Brandt quote tweeted this, retweeted it, and said, translation from the Titans to the state/city leaders. Show us the money or we may have to look elsewhere. What do you make of that?
Andrew Brandt, for those that don't know, used to come on our show with regularity. I think he is excellent at what he does. What is his background? He is a former agent. He's also a former salary cap guru that worked for the Packers. So he's been on, he's got the unique perspective of being on both sides, the business side of a team and the business side of being a player agent. I think he's really sharp. Translation, if you follow him on Twitter, which I have for years, he does a lot of those. It's kind of a funny way that he presents things. He interprets what an official says and gets down to it. I have never felt that Amy Adams Strunk would be like her father and start a power play of, look, you give us what we want or I'm out of here. That's exactly what her father did to get the team to Nashville. And I guess we should be thankful that he was like that, because he basically put the screws to Houston, and when they didn't give him what he wanted, he left. And Nashville was ready with open arms. I've never gotten that vibe from her. I think she has grown to really appreciate our city. But I do think that in time, there needs to be a new facility. I don't think you have to go to great lengths to convince people here that the stadium is aging, and it hasn't aged well. There hasn't been a massive investment from the team to put their own money behind it, spend money to make money. They've basically, in a general sense, relied on the deal that they struck and had this, held the city to their end of the bargain. And that's about it. And so we've gotten the use that you it would expect to get, right? It wasn't a state-of-the-art facility when it was built. It was a solid new stadium in a new market that had all the basics. It was new to everybody here, and it served its purpose. But that was 1999, and so in the coming years, I think we all know what the cycle is going to be. But I you know, that's outside perspective from Andrew Brandt. Don't we think that most people are fairly on board? Hey, you know, it's time to address the stadium. We've been saying it for the last 5 years that this day would come.
There's no question about it.
But do you get a sense that, okay, you're going to start looking around? Now, there's no question there would be several cities that would jump at the chance to say, oh, they won't build you a stadium? We'll do it. I'll guarantee you there's one right down the road in St. Louis that would not mind having a team back.
Right, and
that's tends to be the type of city that jumps back in. What happened to Houston the minute the Oilers left?
Cleveland.
What happened the minute the Browns left?
Yep.
They went all in. We got to get a team back. We've got to get a team back. That's the history. History shows that there will be a lot of cities lining up.
I felt the same way. I wanted to hear your reaction hearing that before I weighed in, because I agree. While we respect Andrew Brandt, he does tremendous work. He's very smart. He knows the lay of the land. He's also speaking on a subject matter from afar. And I, like you, have never gotten that feeling, even though I've admitted this week that I've spent zero time around her, none whatsoever. She's never been on this show. I've never had a conversation with her. All I can do is observe from far and talk with people who have, the few people that, you know, I can talk to that have actually been around her, and I don't get that vibe whatsoever. Now, you know, is she more visible than her father? Yes. Should she be made more available? I think so. I actually think she, you know, they know her better than us. You know, every organization, for the most part, is nervous when ownership speaks, right? They get people in the public, in the PR department, media relations department, they freak out because they can't control the owner. And yeah, whatever the owner says, they you know, they're always on pins and needles. So I understand that would be in play. And typically, most of the time, they want to keep them out of the public view, as in, you know, they don't want a statement getting blown way out of proportion. The next thing you know, they're in the news because of it. I do think she could do good. The settings and the people that I've talked to says she's really good in those luncheons. And I get it. Usually it's safe. It's protected. It's nothing hard-hitting. It's very, very soft setting, and so that's fine. But I think that she would be okay to do a little bit more. I think she could do a little bit more. But, yeah, I don't get the vibe whatsoever that there is ever going to come to a point, one, in our conversations with people, too. I don't get the vibe, well, maybe they haven't agreed upon everything to this point. There's no vibe that they're setting up for, you know, an arm wrestling match. I don't see that. Or a match in the ring, loser leaves town. I see that.
Well, I also don't get the feeling right now. Now, of course, the devil's in the details, right? There's still a lot of hard work that has to be done. But what do we have here? We've got a lot of public support for a new stadium. You've got a lot of city leaders, Butch Spiridon being one, that's like, hey, look, we've been working for this for a long time. We've got ideas. you've certainly got the governor on board. He's already put his the price on there. He's put a number of dollars out there. You know, not everybody agrees on that at all, but I think it certainly helps that you have the governor on board with the mission. There's a lot that has to be worked out with the city. But I don't think you're getting a big stiff arm from a lot of people, which was the case in Houston way back in the day.
Oh, right. Cleveland too. Like it was basically a fight between the mayor and the owner. That's what it was. That's what it turned into. Cleveland was the same exact way.
So I think if there's a look, let's work with each other. I think we have the same goal here. We've got to address this. Like hopefully our city has learned enough from the history of how this works that you can't just do nothing. Let's just play it out. You know, we got a facility.
Well,
just
if you look at the pictures, you would never come to that.
Yeah, but we know. I mean, I sit in the upper deck. I'm not a snob. I go up there a lot. For different games, and it's not pretty.
Oh, it looks unsafe, is what it looks.
I've never felt unsafe, and the last time I went to a game was during the Titans season. I went to a Titans game last fall. I didn't feel unsafe up there. I did sit up there. That could be a little bit exaggerated, right?
Maybe.
But it's not getting any better.
I mean, I don't know how you exaggerate concrete cracking and splitting and looking like it's about to fold in half. I mean, I don't know how you really exaggerate that. But oh. Whoa. Okay, we'll come back. Best shots of the week and a little news. Wow. Okay, on the hockey front. Someone in the Predators division. We'll do that to close up shop here on this Friday. That's next. Indeed you are. Thank you, Dave. We're rounding third and heading home. Let's get in our best shots of the week. When does Michigan State lose to Michigan?
Never.
He had his answer ready for that, didn't
Absolutely.
He?
Well, I know. I just said, I mean, that was the actual text, but I knew exactly what D-Mace's answer would be.
Never. That's when they're going to lose to Michigan.
Everybody's going down a new road. And I just don't think whatever that road you call, Tannehill Lane, is not of, hey, we'll wait and see. We'll see in January. I just don't believe that.
Sounds like a
I
new
believe
song.
He's going to be heavily scrutinized. How, Gil?
You know, it's 2 weeks where you're over there by yourself, and then all the wives and girlfriends come over, and then that's when everything, you know, the watchdogs are there, so you can't have any more fun, so you have to go play hockey.
Is Germany where you discovered beer, Al? Or where did you discover beer?
That was at Providence College. That's where I discovered beer.
Yeah, most of us did.
When really? I got there, let me just say, they didn't stop everything. Oh, my gosh, it's Willie. Hey, Willie, they were like, thanks for coming on. We're trying to win this thing.
I couldn't have played with that.
We'll tell you when it's your turn, and then you just hit your ball. Yeah.
I couldn't have played with them. Man, I'd have been like, man, I see y'all after about two rounds. Y'all too serious. And nothing like that serious when it comes to, you know, sports.
No,
anyway.
They were good guys, though. They tolerated my lack of skill compared
to insubordination. Yeah. Three
like,
guys.
There was a couple of shots that mine were going way into the, like, I hit a couple, I smoked them, but they were just way into the woods. You're like, hey, good contact.
That's what you say
hey,
to somebody.
Well struck. And I'm
got
sitting
all
there
that
going,
one.
The ball's in the river, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, bring us back. I can't listen to this anymore. All right.
Not Robbie down with Stanley. The Backstreet Boys?
No. Robbie Come Stanley on. With us.
Liven up a little bit, Darren.
Come on, Darren. Have some fun.
Come on. Sorry.
Willie was going to let it roll.
Sorry, yeah, not
I was,
sorry.
I was ready Loving for the it. Voice to kick in.
You joined Rex Row tonight watching Sting and the Police out there.
You looped on me. Yeah. No, you're just...
It's just done.
It's either you're going to ask questions or I'm going to jump in and hog this segment again.
Okay, well, I thought you're going to verbally toss it to me.
I said take it.
No,
go.
No, I don't know what you're doing over
Let's
there.
Go.
You're checking on your bank account for the kids. Just making sure to see your balance.
Make sure I don't have $10.
Making sure you have more than 10 bucks in
well,
your account.
Well, he wanted to be a first-round pick. Well, he wanted to be drafted high. Well, young man, you did. And now it's welcome to the league. And you know, I don't know him at all, so I'm not saying what he can handle and what he can't handle. But as a lot of kids go through, you're not in college anymore. You know, you're not in Kansas anymore. And welcome to the NFL.
You're not in Arkansas anymore.
You're not in Arkansas anymore. Okay? We are, I believe, about to speak with Elliot Friedman.
You know what was interesting, Darren? Let me follow up on that. A question that Chase asked during the press conference was, would you be open in the meantime to bringing somebody in from the outside? As you mentioned, there's Brian, who's been, you know, groomed and worked up the ranks over a long period of time here. There's Jeff Kelty, who was a player in the very, very first Predators training camp, who concussions sidelined his career, and he's turned into an excellent evaluator. There's Scott Nickel, who I'd also say is sort of in the family. He was sort of asked, is it time to look at somebody from the outside to add to the team somewhere? And he seemed very open about that. How has that worked in other places, Elliot?
First of all, it sounds like Chase decided to be a real problem.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it was a good question.
A lot of issues.
It's a good question.
No, I'm kidding. I have no doubt it was a great question. I'm just laughing about it. You know, the thing is, I always think...
Well, he's got to do something, Elliot. If he's going to take 4 hours off the show, I mean, he's got to do something. Besides be the program director.
He's got to make it known that he's not just down there eating sandwiches and stuff like that.
Right.
That's true. It's very important.
Hold on.
See, like now, Willie's getting sympathy from people.
Me,
like,
who is he getting sympathy from? There's no sympathy. Willie, let me see your shoes. Let me see.
Like, people are gathering to sit. Look at my shoes. Willie,
seriously.
We have a breakdown.
Look,
seriously.
Let me just say, I'm going to expose.
You are the television play-by-play guy for the Nashville Predators, right?
Who doesn't play golf? Who does not play golf?
And he's got, first of all, I said.
And he got duct tape on his shoes.
I go, you play in Brent Peterson's golf tournament. He gives everybody $100 spend in the pro shop.
Which I used to get these shoes.
In 2003.
No, not 2003.
You've been in 17 other Brent Peterson golf tournaments.
Look, I got these shoes, and it was in the last time I played golf.
That is not
Willie,
true.
We don't want to hear that.
I do not believe that.
No, Willie.
That is not true. Look, Joe.
But now, can I describe the situation?
First of all, Joe walked up, and I said, Joe, look at his golf shoes. And
immediately
he tried to
photographic.
But he was trying to be so nice to you without just pounding. The look on his face was he just swallowed a grenade. Like, I really want to tell you how I feel, but I can't. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. But the look told us a lot.
What is your explanation, Willie?
This sounds like a Philly special right here.
It is a Philly special.
Yeah.
We're going old school. Like we're going old school right here.
Yeah.
If you listen, there's some commercials. This one's kind of come back to life. There's a commercial that plays this all the time. We also were down in Tampa. We were at a rooftop. We were having dinner. It was a really nice night.
You let loose a little bit, Willie?
Yeah, we did. We had this was planned.
Billy let loose.
Planned.
Did you cut loose?
Cut loose a little bit. I felt old, though. It was kind of a younger crowd. I was kind of looking around going, I'm glad I got the hat on, man. not giving away my age a little bit.
Well, I respect your ambition, Willie, but you got to have vision.
Oh, boy. There you go, Willie.
Yeah.
Respect your ambition.
Good feeling, you know.
You gotta have ambition.
There you go, our best shots of the week. Well done, Max Herz. That's going to do it for our show today. Rick Bowness has stepped down as the Dallas Stars head coach.
Yep.
So, pretty interesting.
Contract was up. Remember, he took over in an interim mode and led his team to the Cup Final. They have not had a lot of success in the playoffs since then. But so that had been widely speculated.
They've been mediocre?
No, they've been good enough to make the playoffs, but his contract was up.
Had to end on that note.
Tough call.
That'll do it for our show today. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the weather. We want you back with us Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Thanks for all the participation this week. Stay tuned. Caroline and Company is next.